Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, everybody. You have myself, Tyler Yaw.
And Chris Kellum.
And we have two special guests here today, and they are?
Dr. Colleen.
Dr. Sean.
And Dr. Colleen and Dr. Sean are sports and performance physical therapists and the co-founders of Paradigm Performance Therapy. And before we get too far into it, we've always seen each other just kind of walking around co-works, and we'll wave and say hi and like the whole cordial thing. And then one of the days, Sean and I met outside in the parking lot outside of Beach Street, and we were just like, you know what? We've never actually had like an official introduction here yet, and it's been over a year. Yep. And I was like, you have an awesome story. You need to come on the podcast. So just the background of what happened with us and everything. And also, we brought on Anne from Essential CrossFit.
Yes.
And I know she works with you guys quite a bit too, and just professionally over the years and stuff, and she's always talked very highly of you guys as well.
So sweet. Yeah. Yes.
We're very grateful.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us
on social media. And I'm like, I'm one of those people like, oh, I know them, but I don't really know them, which is always really awkward, especially with right. our position.
But now we get to get to know each other.
Yes. So exactly.
Now you know us.
Yes.
Right.
And you're stuck with us forever.
So we'll be here probably.
But before we get started, we are drinking Benchmark Top Floor. I really just found it because I went to the liquor store and they were like, oh, guess what? We got Benchmark in stock. I'm like, I don't know anything about it, but it's inexpensive. But supposedly it comes from the great distillery that is Sazerac, because they pretty much put out everything nowadays. This one, because these guys don't typically drink whiskey neat, I grabbed it because it's supposed to be a little bit smoother, a little bit lighter finish. It's supposed to have some creamy vanilla, some caramel, a little brown sugar and berries on the palate.
Sounds delicious.
And they are wine connoisseurs, quote unquote. So we'll see if it's true. Check it out. Cheers.
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 I have coffee.
I'll even go.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Smooth.
Yeah. Especially for, I think it was like $15.
That's easy.
Oh, wow.
Easy to drink.
Before we started, I was smelling it, trying to get all the notes like I would for wine. So some of the ones that you were saying, caramel, yes. Vanilla, yes.
Yeah.
The berries, I don't get the berries yet, but maybe it needs to breathe a little.
Yes. Season. I feel like this is inexpensive enough. You could drink it all year long.
Yeah.
So I do that randomly. Like, when would I drink this? I'm like, well, for the price point, I'm going to drink it all year.
Yes, right.
If you can find it. That's all.
Is it something you would continuously drink neat though, or would you probably put some like ginger in there?
Oh, this would totally get mixed. Like this is what I would have at my cheap house bar.
Gotcha.
Because I don't feel like buying Four Roses all the time.
That makes sense.
But yeah, now that we're done talking about whiskey for right now, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
So I'm Dr. Colleen, and we've lived in Wilmington almost 7 years.
Nice.
And I finally feel like since we opened a business, this is really like our home now. It used to be a place that we lived, and now that we're business owners, I feel like it's taken on a whole new realm of what we really call home. So born and raised in Massachusetts, moved down here for Sean's job shortly after we got married, and yeah, just living our best lives ever since.
So how did you guys meet? Did you guys meet in PT school then?
We did, yes.
Okay.
Yep. Colleen wanted nothing to do with me.
Only, this is accurate.
Only girl I ever chased.
Yeah.
After about a year and a half, she finally said yes.
Okay. Looks like it worked out then.
Yes.
Yep. It did.
Fast
yes.
forward 2 years, we're engaged. Then 2 years later, we're married. And then basically got married. And 2 days after getting back from our honeymoon, we were down here.
Oh, wow.
Moved to Jacksonville because we don't know the area very well, and it was close to the base. But Jacksonville was just not for us. So within a year, as soon as we got that lease done with, we found a house down in Wilmington, and yeah, I love it down here. It's been great. And we thought maybe whenever I was done doing the job, we came down because I had an opportunity to work with MARSOC, U.S. Marine Corps Special Operations Command, as the head PT for 2nd Marine Air Battalion. And we figured once I left that job, we'd probably move back to home, Massachusetts, where our family is. But now we fell in love with it down here, and we want to open a business here.
Yeah, now we're locals, great. I guess you can say.
Right, yeah. Yeah. After this long, I'd say so.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I know a little bit more about your background, Sean, just like with the high performance athletes and stuff. So is that primarily who you work with as well, or are you a little bit different when it comes to the practice?
So our specialties and our work experiences have been starkly different, black and white, so different. Sean has had nothing but amazing experiences, amazing mentors. And honestly, surface level, all of my experience has been a dumpster fire after a dumpster fire after almost to the point where I wanted to just give up being a PT altogether.
Oh, wow.
So when I first graduated, I was working in a skilled nursing facility, just chasing the money because I graduated with a ton of debt and just trying to make it. Then we move here. I had two jobs to zero, so I was desperate to find something, so I did home health, which I immediately realized was the worst decision I've ever made. First week on the job, I had to do a full code and do CPR on this elderly lady. It was terrible. And then I found a job in Jacksonville and it was okay. And then my most recent job has been outpatient, but a little bit of acute care. Mm-hmm. So my experience is not necessarily in the sports realm per se. I have a board certification in geriatrics. Okay. Mostly it covers the complex patient. So kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's given me good experience to figure out people that are motivated, and really just the complex patient is really more my specialty.
But she's also, a high school athlete, easily mm-hmm. could have been a college athlete, done sports and working out all, recreationally all her life. So, I mean, making that transition into working more with younger, higher level athletes is not too challenging for her versus there's some PTs out there to try to do sports med because it's sexy, right. But honestly, they're not athletes, never were athletes, and they don't understand the physical demands or the mental demands that are required to do that sport. So how am I supposed to take that person and get from A, her, to B, where they want to be in meeting their goals if they've never done those things, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So I think a lot of PT isn't great because they don't have that understanding of how to go from here to here themselves mm-hmm. personally. So how do I take someone and get them there?
Right.
Colleen can make that connection, and with her background, and she's just one of the smartest people I've ever met, way smarter than me. And she's been doing fantastic.
I didn't pay him to say that just so we're clear. I feel like since our experiences are very different, I feel like we complement each other really well and to know our weaknesses and our strengths and kind of help, have a good collaborative approach. So I feel like that's been super helpful for us.
Nice. That's how we ended up on the podcast together is because we worked together, but I think that was like the one time we had similar aspects to life, and then everything else was quite opposite.
Yeah. So is that yin and yang, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's beautiful.
It is, definitely.
So did you do sports in high school?
Oh, yeah. Multi-sport athlete growing up. I did every sport under the sun. I was that crazy family where my parents were driving me from – like I'd go with my mom, my dad would take my sister to different sports. We'd go from, let's say, get picked up after school, rush over to soccer practice, do some homework in the car. Then after soccer practice, I'm going to eat dinner in the car as we go to a football game that I'm playing in. After that, I got to go to Taekwondo practice at night and then come home eventually, right? And it was just whirlwind. So I did everything, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, wrestling.
Oh, wow.
I wrestled in college, Division II, under scholarship. So I was very fortunate for that.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. Yeah. So working sports has always been a part of my life. And I knew from a younger age I wanted to do something at athletics. When I realized I was not good enough to be an Olympic or professional athlete, which was heartbreaking, but so what's the next best thing? And with all those sports, I hurt myself quite frequently. I've had seven orthopedic surgeries on my body between the times of 8th grade through my senior year in college. So I did a lot of rehab, and I figured that would be a route that would allow me to still work in the sports world.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. So how'd you get into the PT world?
So I was a triathlete. Well, not a triathlete. I did three different sports, but I did soccer, swimming, and track. So I guess you could be a triathlete.
Yes.
I've never put them all together, so I should, but I have not. So I actually was playing soccer, and I hurt my hip, and so I had to go to physical therapy. Mm-hmm. I couldn't lift my leg up, so to run was just terrible, and it was a horrible experience. But, I was 16. I didn't do what I was supposed to do, so was it a good success story? Probably not, but I thought, wow, I really want to do something in the medical field, but but I pass out at needles, like getting my blood drawn. Like, this is just not going to work. But I love doing dry needling to patients. That doesn't bother me. But on me, forget it. So I wanted to find something that was in the medical field, but was sports enough, but not too medical. So I felt like PT was kind of the perfect avenue for me. So yeah, awesome. I love it. So it's been good. There's so many settings that you can work in. Mm-hmm. I've worked in all of them except for pediatrics. So you can have a lot of variety and flexibility depending on kind of what you're looking at. But this is definitely the best job so far that we've had.
So we've oddly enough had multiple PTs on here, and I don't think people realize that like being a PT is similar to like a doctor in the real world, or not like a traditional doctor, because there's so many different avenues that you guys can follow. Because like you say, you work with, you can do geriatrics, you can do pediatrics, aka old people, young people, athletes, just
neurology, oncology, women's health, wound care. There's a lot of different things. So when you come out of PT school, you are very much a jack of all trades, master of none. Mm-hmm. You know a little bit about a lot of different things, but not a lot about anything. So hopefully it's on you to do your own work and join a residency or a fellowship or both, or at least take a lot of continuing ed classes in something, in an area that you want to work in and you want to specialize to find that niche of yours. Sadly, there's a lot of PTs that just don't do that. They stay a generalist and they just do the bare minimum continued ed, and they work at like clinics that just see everything and everyone. And that's going to work for some people. But for me, I think to really excel, you got to pick that route that you like and go hard at it.
Chris, to your point too, Sean graduated initially with a master's, so he was a couple years older than me. I was a second doctoral class at my college that we went to. Mm. So the change between a master's to a doctorate level, I think, really allows us to be a primary care for your musculoskeletal system. And to your point, most people don't know. So that's what we're trying to get out there and promote what we can do and how we can help. And you don't need to call us when you're already hurt. Like there's so much value in being proactive about taking care of your body, because we're not getting any younger, unfortunately. And as Sean said, he has his own slew of injuries, as have I. So, you know, I think giving us our personal, but also our professional experience helps us relate to a variety of people.
Yeah. So it is like you said, what's the difference between the master's versus the doctorate? There's words I don't typically use.
No, you're good. Man, from a clinical standpoint, it's not a massive difference. Okay. I think it's more based off research. I mean, we learn research for that master's degree, but I think because I went back and got my doctorate, and the biggest difference I noticed was really just hammered a lot more on how to get published, how to do perform research and try to get, you know, published in a high-end journal. They put a lot more focus on pharmacology and imaging. I got very little pharmacology and imaging learning when I was doing my master's program. And then also just looking at the patient as a whole and being able to be better at screening. So identifying, hey, the person's coming in for shoulder pain. Let's say they're PCP, saw them for shoulder pain and referred them to PT. You know, see and treat 2 times a week, whatever, blah. Right. And so you do your screen. It's like, well, you know, the person that sent you for shoulder pain might be really bogged down, really busy. They're seeing a lot of times primary care physicians are seeing 30 to 60 patients a day. So you don't spend a lot of time with them. And they initially just, all right, here, go to PT. And then I get to sit down with them for 40 minutes, an hour, whatever. And I'm supposed to be the expert in at least from the musculoskeletal standpoint of things. So I'm looking at their shoulder and assessing. When it doesn't seem like a shoulder, well, then what, right? So I think that doctoral training gives you more ideas of the different systems and what could be potentially wrong, so I can get a better idea of like, okay, this is not ortho. You did not strain your rotator cuff. There's not a labrum issue. There is something else going on. And knowing when to refer out and who to refer to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Differential diagnoses specifically outside of the musculoskeletal system. So things that could be underlying for cancer or any gallbladder, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, those are things I never would have thought of, like getting a prescription to go to see PT. I'd never think that my physical therapist would be thinking like, oh, this is not your shoulder at all. You could actually have cancer. So like, that's crazy.
Of course, that's an extreme.
Right.
Let me just say that is an extreme. But that's kind of where my specialty has been, working with the geriatric or older population in terms of identifying things that are not what they surface level look like. So I think we're always on the alert to make sure. And we ask all these kinds of questions to make sure that, you know, what you have is really what you have. And if not, we're going to figure it out together or get you to the right person that will get that.
scary, but we've had to do that many times.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to working with athletes, what was the first kind of step for you, like right out of college? Like, did you get into a fellowship or a residency that kind of primarily focused on that? Or is that something you kind of fell into, like you knew you wanted to get there at some point, and how that kind of worked for you?
Yeah. So things worked out, I think, between hard work and just a lot of luck, honestly, mm-hmm. that things worked out the way it did. But when I finished up with PT school, when you're going through the grad phase of things, you have to do X amount of internships, yep, right?
Right.
And so my very last clinical internship happened to be at a clinic that was in Waltham, Massachusetts. It was inside the same building as the Boston Celtics training facility.
Oh, wow.
And it was co-owned by two physical therapists and athletic trainers, one being Ed Lassert, who is the physical therapist, athletic trainer for the Boston Celtics. He was there for, let's say, shoot him for again, roughly 20 or so years, oh, 25 wow. years, yeah. maybe. He's not there anymore. He's now actually the head athletic trainer, I think, for USA men's basketball, like the
actual basketball team,
not the Olympic team, but like the junior like yeah, Olympic team, yeah. like, right. So, wow. And Don Warden, Woody was the head PT athletic trainer for the Boston Bruins from like the mid 80s through the mid 90s. So they co-owned the clinic and I got to see a lot of athletes at that particular facility. And after doing my internship there, they offered me a job. So my first job out of PT school was working there with them. That allowed me to have opportunities to go in shadow on the Boston Celtics side of things and hang on the locker room and work with the players. And that was really, really fun. That was great. That allowed me to really get my feet wet in that realm and introduce me to, or not introduce me, but push me in direction to go into athletic training. And so I went to Salem State University in Salem, Massachusetts for athletic training, got my CSCS, Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist. As I'm working in the clinic, working with athletes of all levels, getting to spend time with the Celtics, work with them, got to work with athletes, individual athletes that would come work with us from the NFL, mm-hmm. The NHL, the WWE. Wow. So I've got, yeah, I was very lucky, very fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
So it was funny too. I was thinking back like yesterday. I was like, all right, who all is coming on the podcast today? And I was going through, I was like, all right, Sean and Colleen are coming on. And I was like, oh, wait, like the Celtics have gotten really far in the NBA playoffs. And then my sister is a huge Celtics fan for some reason. And so
she has good taste.
Right.
But they're so, not from Boston.
I was going to say,
from PA.
So, yeah, we're from right outside of Philly. So like me and my dad are like Sixers fans.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere,
poor Philly.
I know. That was sad. So of course my sister gave me hell, like no one's business after they won in the playoffs, but whatever. And she's really into PT and stuff like that. And it was going down that road. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, shit, I need to call my sister real quick. And so I was like, hey, guess who I'm meeting today? And she was like, oh, that's not fair. So yeah, she was excited I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. That's cool.
Yeah, let her know. I've had my hands on Paul Pierce and Shaquille O'Neal.
That's crazy. He played there.
He finished. Yeah, everyone forgets. He was terrible that year. But yeah, his very last year in the NBA was with the Celtics for some reason.
My favorite memory at the time that Sean was there, I had just graduated PT school, mm-hmm. and I was in between time to, you have to wait to take your board exam. When I took it, it was set day testing, so you could only sign up 4 times a year. So from May, I had to wait until July to take it. So I was working at the same business as Sean, but a different location. Mm. And so they had Shaq's shoe. And so I remember one year Sean took a picture of Shaq's shoe with his shoe. It looked like a toddler's shoe. It was so funny.
I wear 10 and a half. He's like at 24.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous how big his foot is. Like, so I've seen videos of him like trying to get into cars.
Yes.
I'm like, you're a little too tall.
There's just a picture out there somewhere with him next to Kevin Hart. And I love that picture.
Yeah.
Well, I have not seen that, but I'm sure it's funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's him next to Kevin Hart. And then there's one with Yao Ming standing next to Shaq. And I'm like, well, Shaq's big. And then Yao Ming has him by like another 5 inches. And you're like,
oh, right.
Ooh. Tall wise,
yes, height, yeah. Not like,
yeah, Shaq's thick, Shaq's a big boy, yes. His thighs, the size of my whole body.
How is it working on an athlete like that huge though? Because I'm sure that's very different than just like a normal human being.
Yeah, you figure it out. It's awkward though. It's very awkward. You go for like normal sized people, like 5'5" to 6 foot, and then you're working with someone that's like 6'12", 6'11", 7 foot, 7'1". It's like, how do I lift this up? How do I maneuver this? How do I use my proper body mechanics? I'm throw my back out trying to stretch his hamstring.
Right. Let me get my steps still here real quick.
Exactly. So because you're working with professional athletes, I feel like, I would hope that they would try and get ahead of the game and go to PT sooner.
I'm sure. You would hope. Doesn't always happen, but we try to make that happen. And some athletes are fantastic at it and some aren't. Right. And we try to bring that same approach to our athletes here at Paradigm, give that same kind of quality of one-on-one care that they deserve. We feel like everyone should be treated like a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. And so we treat them like that. And we try to give them all the same modalities and hands-on type of care and strength conditioning drills that we would give them to. So yeah, just our general motivated athletes around Wilmington.
The big thing I've heard too from some of our athletes, as Sean specifically said, we say that all the time. You're an athlete. You have a body. You're working out. You're taking care of yourself. You're an athlete. But I feel like that sometimes gets a bad taste in everyone's mouth. Like, oh, I used to be. Well, maybe. But no, you still are. You're still invested in taking care of yourself. So we try to flip the script and encourage people that they are still an athlete no matter what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
That makes it more fun too.
I like to hear that. Yeah. I mean, I see you guys are always – like you're working with like CrossFit gyms and like people who are trying to be athletes all the time. But I feel like that gets a bad rap. Like when we started at Essential, everyone's like, well, I can't do CrossFit because I'm not in shape or I'm not doing this. I'm like, it's the same reason why people say they can't go to, or they don't want to go to PT. They're like, well, I'm not hurt currently. Like, yeah, but you have to stay fit so you live longer and your body stays in shape. Is that right?
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if we all went next door right now to Alcove Beer Garden and we asked everyone to raise their hand if they've ever had any type of pain in the last, aches, discomfort, whatever, in the last week, everyone's going to raise their hand, right? We're all in some sort of pain. So what are we doing to combat that? And sadly, a lot of people aren't doing anything. Some half of them probably aren't even working out in the gym. I think if working out would be one step, but you could take it further and do something where we're actually, okay, let's break down what your movement patterns are like. Most people have discomfort or pain or even if it's not an injury, like off and on, reoccurring lower back pain or something like that, right? Everyone's, oh man, if I do this for too long, my back hurts. Well, why? You don't have the capacity to handle that load for some reason. So let's figure out why. What does your mobility look like? What does your stability look like? What does your strength look like? A lot of times if we look at 9 different fundamental movement patterns, we're going to identify different types of compensations, impairments in the mechanical aspect of how you move. And our bodies are very strong and adaptable. They're amazing. And they will find the path of least resistance to work around that issue. And over time, you know, it's a great way to avoid getting into those areas of pain or discomfort. So what I mean by that is, let's say your hip is stiff. Well, that's if your hip is stiff, it's going to affect how you squat. And you're like, well, I don't squat. I don't put a barbell on my back. No, every time you get up and off the toilet or in and out of your car, up and down on your couch, that's a squat. And so if your hip is stiff and you're doing these things repetitively day in, day out, and you're compensating kind of around that stiff hip, you're going to overwork other areas of your lower back or your ankle or your knee or something like that. So then other things over time get a little stressed out more than they should be. And then all of a sudden things flare up. You're like, oh, shoot, my back hurts or whatever. And then you rest it. You back off. You stop doing things because, you know, you avoid it. And it rests, makes it go away.
Right.
But all you're doing is treating the symptom. You're not fixing the root cause of why this is hurting. Why is this an issue? And over time, those compensations get worse. Other things start to flare up and get more impaired. And eventually a real injury does happen, right? So that's what we're trying to explain to people. Like a lot of these little things, these little aches and pains probably could be prevented. And a lot of times there are signs that maybe a real injury is coming down the road, right? So if we can figure out why you do these compensations, start cleaning up those movement patterns, all of a sudden you move a little bit better, then you feel a little bit better, then you're performing a little bit better, whether it be in the gym or in life, around the home with the kids.
Yeah. I feel like everyone feels like they have to compete or have like a competition or a race set up to feel like they could benefit from us. But to your point, like we're all training for life. We all want to live a long life, but we don't feel like we need to take those little steps until we're already hurt. So that's where we're trying to flip the script and create a paradigm shift on that.
Right. Yeah. So is that where the name came from?
Kind of.
Yes and no. Yeah. Yes and no. Go ahead.
Funny story. So it was a long progress from the time of me having a situation that really forced me to say, Sean, I'm not going to be a PT anymore. And he kind of was like, I'm sorry, what? I said, you know, I'm just over it. I'm so done. I'm burnt out. I am probably just going to do, I don't know, I'll be a barista. He was like, you know, those don't pay the bills. I was like, well, I really don't care. So we'll figure it out. Blah, blah, blah. So Sean, when we first got together, he had said, let's open a business one day. And my immediate reaction was, there's 0% chance I ever want to do that with you. Like, it's just never going to happen. So if then me knew now what we do, I would die. Anyway, sidebar. So it was like probably a 10-month journey for me to be like, what can I do? What can I have something that I'm still passionate about and not feel burdened with? Mm-hmm. And so Sean had said, let's open a business. And I was like, again, there's no chance I want to do that. I don't know how to run a business. I know how to be a PT, blah, blah, blah. We got hooked up with some people that were with this business group that we have. And, you know, I started to think, well, why not? Why not? I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I'm about ready to quit and do nothing with relevant to PT. So why not? So that's where we came in with that. That year in July 21, we went to Napa. And so we went to a bunch of different wineries. And there was one winery called Paradigm Winery. And they wanted to set the gold standard of how winemaking is. And so anyway, Sean came up with a list of 30 names because I'm not creative. If there's a creative part of it, it's all Sean, 100%. He came up with 30 names and I was like, I don't like any one of those. And so I had said there was another winery that we went to called Reverie 2. And I said, I want something like that because it in French means to be in a dreamlike state. So I wanted like a hidden meaning behind it. And so he had said, what about Paradigm? And I said, I don't know. Let me sit on that. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
But let me think. And then, yeah. So I think it perfectly fits with exactly what we're trying to do. So
right. We
love that.
That's great. And kind of going back to what you were talking about before too, just this last year, our podcast has been a lot on self-improvement and for me, especially more of like a human optimization type of journey that I've been on myself. And one of the things that a past guest had on said is just because you hit a certain age and everyone tells you like, oh, you're not in your 20s anymore. Or, oh, that's just what happens when you get older. Just this last year turning 30 for myself, you're like, you know what? Like I don't accept that. I don't accept that because I'm 30, I can't lift as much as when I was in my 20s. And just because when I hit 40, I don't want to feel like my joints are in pain. And so I've been going on this like optimization part of myself. And I do appreciate kind of you guys, like, let's nip this in the bud. Let's find out the reason why you're feeling like this. Because it's not normal for your knees to hurt at 40. It's not normal for you to have back pain when you go to pick something up off the ground or picking up your child. So like, that's just one of the stories that I'm trying to get out there and everything too. And why I really appreciate you guys coming on and talking about it as well. Cause I want everyone to know that those things that everyone told you were normal, that it's not.
Yeah. That's crap. That's absolute crap saying that. It's horrible. Absolute bull. Yeah, no, we, it's just, think of it like almost like a car, right? Like you buy a sweet sports car. I don't know. You buy a brand new like Corvette and it's your baby and you love it. You take such good care of it. And it drives so nice. And then eventually, after a couple of years, 5-6 years down the road, the warranty,
wear and tear?
No. It just starts to wear off. That novelty kind of wears off a little bit, right? And you're like, I can push another 1,000 miles before I get that oil change. I can do this for whatever, right? And you put off this and you put off that. And all of a sudden, things start breaking down a little bit. It needs to be in the shop a lot more frequently. And then all of a sudden, you know, fast forward 20, 25 years, you don't own that car anymore. It's now a rust bucket and some teenage kid is driving it, right? Like it's nothing special or nice anymore when it could have been. But you look at other people that bought a Corvette and 30 years down the road, it's a classic. It's worth 3 times the value. It is gorgeous, but they took good care of it, right? Yeah. So when we're young, we tend to abuse our bodies a little bit because we can get away with it. Yeah. That young, brand new car, you can get away with it. You pushing it for a while before things start to break down. Yeah. But eventually down the road, all of a sudden it's like, oh shoot, I need a lot more TLC, right? Like you need to put your body through a little bit more love. And so if when you're young, you're running through walls, you're doing all this crazy stuff, you don't take care of your body, you don't stretch, you don't really strength train appropriately, mm-hmm. you're just going max out sets all the time, you're beating yourself up. And that's going to have an effect down the road when you get older. But doesn't mean you can't change that. You can't flip that script. You can change things up a little bit by, you know, working with someone that knows how to help identify these things, right? And make these corrections, right? And so giving yourself a little TLC, man, you can live forever. You can run like crazy. Right. And that's why you see some 70-year-old men that are just decrepit. They stay at home with their wives. They're not doing anything. And then other 70-year-old men and women, they're out running marathons. Like I have one client who's just literally 70-year-old triathlete, and she just dominates. Wow. And she always ends up on the podium every time.
That's crazy.
You know, it's great. But then you got other people, and I look at like other people sometimes, it's just like, shoot, man, it doesn't have to be this way. No. It doesn't have to be. You can change that. And it's never too late to change that.
I agree with that. Also too, how long does an average car last, right? 25, 30 years, maybe not even 30. How long do we want to live? Right. Our lifespan is way longer. So we need a lot more upkeep to maintain that level of functioning. So
if you want to live long and play hard and be able to be active, you got to put the work in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because it happened to me where I was like, you know, I want to get in shape. I want to get better. And then as soon as you go to work out, you get injured and you're like, oh, well, I need to rest. And then you don't go back working out because you're like, well, I'm hurt. And last time I got hurt, you have that mental, like, well, if I do it again, I'm going to get hurt again.
Fear-based. Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, it makes more sense. Like if we talked about it more, I feel like more people would do it and be like, you know, let's go take care of ourselves. Like, yes, if you know the last time you worked out, you tweak something. Well, why don't you go see a PT and work with them so that way you can help yourself so that way you can work out and not get hurt? Or, hey, you know, I'm overweight and all I do is like walk to the kitchen and walk back. Okay, what can I do to get myself off of that track? Mm-hmm. So when I do want to walk here to the end of the block, you know, without me being injured, go see a PT or have somebody come see you.
Absolutely.
We like to have like a point of view as you're the driver of your bus, your car, your engine, whatever you want to call it. And we're just your co-pilot coaching you on getting to exactly to all those goals that you want to achieve, where you feel empowered to take control of your body. Because as much as we want to go home with all of our patients to make sure they're doing all the things, we can't. So we want to give you all of our knowledge. So that way, when you are, you know, going back to working out after an injury, you feel strong, you feel confident that you're not going to get hurt because you've put in the work, you've done all that you can, and now you know better for the next time. So we kind of want to position you as the hero, and we're just there cheering you on.
And not just even everything you just said, absolutely, but then not just like looking at things from a, you know, exercise or strength position. You have to look at things, I think, a very holistic, eclectic approach. What's your diet like? What's your sleep schedule like? You know, if we don't take all that stuff into account, man, like if we just focus on like your elbow pain and that's it, like we're not going to get better. We need to make sure, are you sleeping appropriately? Are you eating it right? Are you taking care of stress management? You have a lot going on. You're going through a divorce. You're losing your kids. You're freaking out. Like, yeah, that's going to manifest in the physical pain. Like, what are you doing to mentally help take care of yourself and help you? And we might not be able to technically help you with that, but we can at least help identify, talk to you about things and point you in the right direction of who can help you with that. But if we're not looking at everything from full body, full mind approach, it might be, you know, not enough. They got to do more.
Yeah, that's a good point because people do carry their stress in their bodies. And depending on where you're holding it and where it's kind of hanging out, if you're not going to the root cause of it, there's really nothing you can really do.
Yeah.
Right. So last year I tore my meniscus and then shortly coming back after getting so excited, I did something slow and controlled. I had to step up. And then as I'm coming down, I put perfectly placed dumbbells right where my opposite foot was going to land. And I severely sprained my ankle. So just the mental aspect of an injury, of how debilitating that can be, I feel like is a lot of what we talk about with a lot of our clients too. Because if you don't feel well, then everything else is going to be, you know, equally as terrible to do. Showing up to work, you're not mentally present to be with your family or your spouse or your friends. And it just makes everything kind of blah. And like, why am I doing this? So it's like building resources and help to support around that too, to help you be empowered for not only your physical health, but your mental health too, I think definitely is a game changer too.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, I know when I was injured last year, I was like, wow, great. I am the worst PT in the world. But we're body, you know, we're human just like everybody else. And, you know, we just have to take our own advice too.
I mean, let's be real. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
Like even the best trained athletes who work out daily and even the highest business owners who are grossing millions and billions of dollars, they still make mistakes. And so, but they learn from it. And I think that's what we have to do is like, well, I made this mistake. How can I fix it? By learning from that, figuring out how to not do it next time or getting someone to help you get better.
Yeah, 1000%. Absolutely.
And it seems like you guys have really kind of niched down and found like your perfect client. So if you were to put that into words, who would you say like the perfect client walking in the door would be for you?
I would say our functional fitness athletes
are
motivated individuals. I feel like a lot of our clients are over a huge span of your older parent or, you know, your young athlete that's getting up and getting ready to compete in whatever, a marathon, an Ironman, you know, CrossFit Games. I feel like we have a huge variety of kind of people all over.
I've also seen you guys have a pretty cool belt in your practice too. We talk about
you
the
know
belt.
We should have brought that. I was just thinking that as we're sitting here talking about Sean with wrestling, I will say I will take credit for that. That was my idea. That's I don't awesome. Have any ideas ever.
It was.
See, you do have some creativity.
So we wanted, like, I feel like we're really good about celebrating everyone's wins. When people text us that they were able to do X activity with no pain or they finished their race in a PR, like, we love that. But I feel like that's just not good enough for us to be like, we are so happy about that. So I don't know, at our business coach, they have kind of a belt that they give away to the MVP of, you know, whoever they choose. So I thought, you know, why don't we do something like that? And John was like, I don't know, that's silly. I'm like, yeah, but you're a wrestler. Like, you love the WWE. Come on. Like, so I feel like that has been so fun. Yeah. And some people are like shy. No. Oh my gosh, this thing is so heavy. And then they love it. It's just, it's so fun. We'll have to get a picture with you guys. But
that's
this
neat. Yeah, I love that.
I've seen pictures of it, but I was like, I never actually knew what it was for.
Yeah, we just wanted to find a way to recognize, with everyone's permission, of course, their wins and putting in their work and them celebrating that they are able to do whatever they want to do without pain.
Yeah. There was someone, I was telling people who was coming on the podcast, and someone actually asked me, like, what's the difference between a chiropractor and a PT? I gave the best version of that as I could, but I have a feeling you guys could do a much better job of explaining what the difference is than what I ever could.
That's a loaded question.
Can be. Yeah. There's good PTs and there's bad PTs out there. Just like, I think there's good chiros and bad chiros, good plumbers, bad plumbers. I think trying to find someone who is a really good chiro and a really good PT, you're going to see a lot of similarities. There's when you look at the schooling is going to definitely be different, but I'm going to say a good PT and a good chiro is going to treat very similar. They're going to hopefully take things from a holistic approach, an eclectic approach, do a combination of both, maybe manual, some sort of manual therapy and exercise-based type stuff, and will do things to not only challenge the patient, but help actively build up their capacity to handle the activities of daily living that they want to do, right, to attain their goals. I think a bad PT is someone that is going to rely mostly on passive treatments. And I guess you could say a chiro, same thing, right? Passive type treatments only, right? I think there needs to be a good approach of each. We'll just say, traditionally speaking, chiros are known for cracking. Right. Cracking backs, cracking necks. But guess what? PTs can do that too. We're trained how to do that.
Yeah.
We can get advanced coursework and how to be better at it. I feel like a lot of chiros a lot of people just look at chiro as that's all they do. They just, they crack your back, crack your neck. Oh, you hurt your back. You got to go see a chiro because they're back doctors. Chiros can treat anything head to toe, just like we can treat anything head to toe. We, I think, are very, very good at treating spine injuries. I see a lot of back pain, a lot of radicular nerve type symptoms coming from the neck or coming from the back that shoots down the arm or leg that creates numbness and tingling and all these issues. And I think we have great outcomes in treating them. But yeah, there's a lot of overlap between the two professions. We both can do hands-on. We both get some sort of exercise-based type of treatments or teachings on how to do that type of stuff, right? We can be trained in dry needling techniques. So I'm trying to be fair here and not say anything.
You really You're a PT, I mean, here, talk yourself up. That's fine.
But no, chiros are definitely obviously known for cracking. I think PTs are more known for passive modalities and exercises, easy exercises, and red TheraBand, 3 sets of 10, which is crap, which is crap. I think both professions can have kind of have a bad knock in the public's eye. Both can be better and both need to strive to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like that a lot, actually. So, yeah, because I've had my fear of injuries through sports and different athletics and stuff too. And there's been some PTs and chiros that have been fantastic, and I've learned a lot and have never had the same injury because of it. And then I've had horrible ones that they're like exactly what you said about the bands. And I'm like, I have no clue what this is doing to help my shoulder, but sure, let's do it.
It's like you go for a shoulder injury and you're doing like 3 sets of 10 like this. Yep. Well, guess what? 5 weeks down the road, I'm still doing 3 sets of 10 just like this. Instead of a red band, I have a green band now. Yeah. Like, whoa, there's got to be better progressions. There needs to be progressions. Every time I see a client, we are adding and progressing in their treatments, assuming that they're ready to, of course. We're constantly assess, treat, reassess. We got to make sure what we're doing is working and helping. And then every time you come in, hopefully, if you're doing the homework that I ask you to do, every time you come in, we're going to be progressing, because when we assess you, you've gotten better and you've moved past this crap and we're ready to go here or do other things. So when you come to our gym, you're going to see a squat rack, you're going to see barbells, you're going to see kettlebells, you're going to see a whole lot of really cool stuff that you don't normally see in your traditional physical therapy clinic.
That's what had me really interested about you guys too, because like I follow you on Instagram and everything, of course. So I'm like, this is not like the typical PT like practice that I see on a normal basis.
Yes.
That's really neat.
Yeah. I think with my experience and the dumpster fires that I've had, I'm like, how can I do this better and make it better for receiving PT? Because we, you know, I had shoulder surgery before we moved down here and my PT experience was horrible as a PT. I'm like, there is no way I'm ever going to get back to swimming, any overhead, anything. There's no way. Yeah. So like, we just want to do better for everyone that doesn't know, because to the average person that's never been to PT, they don't know. So we want to elevate it and make it so much better.
I think in your traditional PT setting, what you're going to see is calm the symptoms, put the fire out, and then discharge you. See you later, right? Yeah. So now nothing's really been fixed or corrected. You're back to, okay, I have less pain, or maybe my pain's completely gone, but guess what? I don't know how to run though, or I still can't press overhead. Or you think you can, so you go back to doing the sport, and within 2 weeks, you re-injure it, re-aggravate it, because nothing has really changed. You haven't fixed really anything yet. So I think, you know, I just call what we do good rehab, but some people, I could see it as bridging the gap between rehab and performance, right? So people might look at rehab as just calm down the symptoms, get them out of pain, moving okay, and then they discharge you because the PT doesn't know how to get you back to that sport. Oh, figure it out on your own, right? Just go ahead, see you later. I'll go back and work with your personal trainer. Hopefully they can figure out how to get you there, right? And so I think that's lazy or just crappy care. So we want to take you step by step with a structured, detailed plan on how we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And I feel like most of our clients, or I want to say all of our clients, get back to exactly what they want to do, achieving all their goals and just kicking ass in daily life.
One of our taglines that we've used is progress happens when you act. And so breaking out the A, C, T, A, alleviate your pain and your symptoms. So to Sean's point, put out the fire. C, classify and correct the root cause. Why is this happening? Where is this coming from? Go from there, and then train your body for long-term resiliency. So that way you have the power, you have the confidence to get back to doing all those things.
Yeah. Interesting. I love that like configuration.
It's easy to remember.
Yes.
Right.
Because we could give you a whole scroll of things and you're like, I've already lost you.
Right.
It's an action, right? Progress happens when you act. So
I like that a lot. That's much easier to remember.
Right. My other favorite is motion is lotion.
That is a good one. Not wrong about that.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
I love a good corny joke.
Yep.
So Michael, one of my random questions for you guys. Did you originally start here in Co-Works, or were you in a different location?
This is the OG. Oh, we actually were not in the original spot that we were in. When you go down the hall to the right, there was a plumbing emergency. So we were in that location for about like 2 months or so.
Yeah.
So we're just picking up momentum and they're like, oh yeah, you need to move your stuff out 2 hours ago. I'm sorry, what? Oh. And then all the plumbing goes underneath the flooring. Yeah, so we moved out. So it kind of worked out to our benefit because now it's doubled the space. So since October 2021.
Yeah. When I left my job with Marsoc in December. So when I joined full time in January, if we were still in that spot, there's no way we would have had it moved. We would have had to change locations. But because that spot, I don't know if you guys have been in that room right here. Yeah. It's so tiny.
It's very small.
It was big enough to do what you need to do one-on-one, but then that's it. Like, there was no way I could have been there with another client. So our new spot, yeah, allows us to stay here and really put our roots down in this area a little bit longer.
Oh, we've loved it.
Yeah.
That's the thing I like about co-works in general is, like, it gives you the opportunity to start small and you can move to a bigger location without having to be like, okay, I have to pack up everything and ship it across town. Like, you can move like two doors down and expand a little bit. Okay, let me expand a little bit more, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, when we were first getting started, it was, again, Sean's idea. We were looking for spots. So we're like, where are we going to find a spot that we're not going to break the bank? So Sean had suggested, oh, the Cargo District, we should totally go there. And so, yeah, it worked out beautifully. So we flipped it.
That's great.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah.
So you're reverse. How do you guys find clients? Like, are people brought in, like referred from people, or do you find them on social media? Like, what's your thing?
Our biggest thing is marketing within the community. So dropping into different gyms, building relationships with run clubs, with CrossFit gyms, with functional fitness gyms, and then just word of mouth, I would say right now is our biggest referral source. So we don't take insurance. Now, you can get a referral and come to us, but it's not necessary. North Carolina is a direct access state. Mm-hmm. So you don't need that to come see us. So we will accept it, but it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely word of mouth is huge. But yeah, when we were first getting started, the biggest thing was just dropping in with gyms, talking with coaches, talking with trainers, talking with owners of gyms, just building relationships, you know, we're in for the long term and we're just trying to get to know people and how can we help them, right? And just by doing that, we definitely gained some trust through different owners of gyms and coaches. And next thing you know, they're, you know, let's see how this goes. Let's refer a client there. Right. And when they're happy with the results, a few more clients come rolling in, which has been nice. And then the more people we help, the more they tell their friends, and it just grows that way. Really, we haven't done any type of paid advertising. We don't do any marketing or networking with your traditional doctor's offices or anything like that. It's just been all within organic. The fitness community of Wilmington.
That's fantastic. And that probably really leads into what your niche is anyway. People that want to hit that like optimal self. So you're only getting those people that are going to do the exercises and will do the work. So I'm sure if you got prescribed to go to a PT, those are probably the people that are like, I'm not going to do those exercises they told me this week.
Yes.
So part of our process, 1,000%. I agree with that, is we do a free phone consultation to do exactly that. We're not interviewing you really, but we just kind of want to see what do you need? What do you have going on? What are your goals? Talk about all the other facets of life, your stress, your diet, your sleep, all that stuff. So we can get a handle and really get you thinking about what's important to you and why is that important to you? Because when you can make that connection, it's much more meaningful to understand why you're doing whatever exercise that we give you.
Yeah,
it won't be that one.
Thank you.
We want to make sure you're a good fit for us and we're a good fit for you. And if we don't think it is, we'll do everything we can to help direct you in the direction you need to go in, right? And help find you a provider that will be better for you.
Yeah.
We never want to leave someone just hanging, right?
Yeah,
We want to help. So
I'm going to steal Chris's question here. But since we've talked about so much of your clients kind of reaching success for themselves, what does success look like for both of you, either professionally or personally?
I think for me, being a business owner has been the best role I have had to take on. However, I feel like my whole life experience is put your head down, work hard, and you do nothing to take care of yourself. So I think it's been a great awareness for myself too, to hone in on all of those other components to literally practice what we preach. So for me, success is finding balance of having a good personal life balance, you know, finding the things that I find joy in doing. And then we really get our cups filled up with seeing our clients and really achieving their wins and allowing them to see the dots that are connected on how what their body impairments look like into their functional activities and how they can get better. So for me, that I think is corny, but really,
I love it.
We're both very passionate. That's why one of our core values is passion. We want people to be passionate about taking care of themselves. So I think for me, it's kind of lame, but I feel like that's really true to my heart about what success means.
I love it.
I don't mean to be lame to steal her answer, but I mean, everything she said, I mean, 1,000%. 1,000%. I mean, we're married.
It makes sense for it to be kind of aligned then.
Exactly. I think definitely the freedom of time is really, really nice. I'll give you that much, right? So, you work in our, let's say our, your average PT clinic for somebody, you are putting in about, especially in the insurance world, my experience and your experience has been very much where like you put in your 8 hours a day, but during that 8 hour day, you are seeing anywhere from 15 to 25 patients a day. Yeah. So you are getting your butt kicked left and right. You're exhausted. You're so tired at the end of the day. And then guess what? You just start 20 patients. You now have 20 notes to write before you get to go home. And you get paid for what you write and send into the insurance company. You don't get paid for what you actually do with your clients. Yeah. So being able to not have, because all our clients, all our appointments are 60 minutes, one-on-one, always. We never double book or triple book like other clinics tend to do. So, you know, a full 8 hour day for us is a client. So it makes it just so much easier. I'm not doing a million hours and hours and hours of documentation at the end of my day. And so we have a little bit more freedom where we can actually set our schedule and be able to go home and have dinner together once in a while versus being stuck at the office working and not getting home till 9 p.m.
I definitely agree with that.
That's been, to me, it's just been amazing.
That's great.
As a business owner, as an entrepreneur, I guess. Yeah, having that flexibility that you don't get when you're working for somebody.
Yeah.
Or like just like a week or two ago, we just were like, well, we have an hour, 2 hours. Let's just go to lunch. And we're like, oh, weird. We never would be able to just randomly go take off and go get lunch together.
Right.
So I feel like that has been invaluable too. Yeah, and you can't put a price tag on that.
Exactly.
So talking about lunch.
You got Chris on the food. Great.
What's your favorite burger joint in Denver?
Oh man, Colin's gonna have a hard time answering this one.
I don't eat red meat, so I'm gonna deflect to Sean.
Burger joint, man. I don't know. So everyone keeps talking about Grim Burger. I haven't tried it yet. Every time I want to try Grim Burger, and we go to like a brewery just so I can try because that's where their food truck is. Sold out.
Yeah.
Or it's like an hour line, and I'm like, yeah, I'm hungry now. I don't want to wait.
That's why I haven't had it yet either.
Mess Hall. I do like Mess Hall. I haven't been there though since they reopened, so I'm excited to go check it out. But lately, dude, I've been digging the burger, the Smash Burgers next door at B Street.
Yeah, those are pretty amazing.
They've been pretty awesome.
Yeah. I can't complain. I mean, there's some good burgers. So wait, you don't eat red meat. What do you eat? Do you eat chicken?
Well, funny you should ask. So for the longest time, I really only ate chicken, seafood. I've just never had any kind of taste for any red meat.
Yeah.
Just trying to, like Chris and Tyler said, to begin with, like our holistic. So I did a food allergy test. Now I know there's not great research, but just trying to get all the things together. It came back that I have allergies to chicken, egg whites, egg yolks, and bell peppers. So I'm navigating life without that. But yes, normally I would eat chicken, seafood. Yeah.
So we've been experimenting with tofu and tempeh. It's been terrible.
No, don't say that. I'm shocked that you've even tried as much as you have, I'll be honest. Before he's like, I'm never doing this. I'm not doing that.
Team player over here.
I agree. You have been very good.
I mean, I probably should do some food allergy test or something, but I'm proud of myself. Despite the fact that I still haven't come to see you guys yet, I'm still smart enough to know, like, if I eat this food, I'm going to have this reaction to it or I'm going to do that. And there's so many people who nowadays are like, oh, I ate this and 20 minutes later, my stomach hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to go have that for lunch tomorrow. And I'm like, nah, just go get something different.
Yeah.
Listen to your body.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. No, dude. Oh, my God. I mean, when I was like younger, high school and college, I felt like I could just eat anything and be fine. But now it's like, no, dude, you're 38. That's not the case anymore.
Exactly.
So yeah, I still do things, but you know, I'm more strategic about it. Yeah. Like, all right, I'm not going to do this all the time, but
I'm trying to get him to do the testing too. He needs it more than I do.
I'm actually going through a lot of that stuff now too. So I actually just did a genetic testing to see like the five main genetic stuff that can affect your mind and gut. And then I'm going to do the food sensitivity test and then also the blood test as well. So
it's
like,
so I'm excited.
It's really interesting. My whole family, essentially, other than like myself and dad, are in like the medical field in one way sense or another. So it's just been interesting, like listening to all this. And I started listening to like Gary Brecko on podcasts and how Dana White and Grant Cardone have like gone through these things. And they're both in 50s, 60s. And they're like, I've never felt so good in my life. And I'm like, well, if this 60-year-old guy is feeling like this, like I definitely shouldn't be feeling pain or hurting in different ways. So it's been really interesting to go down that journey as well, too.
I feel like I've been dabbling in a plant-based diet anyway for a long time, just because you can only eat chicken for so long before you're just like, I'm tired of this.
Yes. Right.
So I feel like I've been following that. I have a few books, Fiber Fueled, Dr. B. He was a GI specialist, and he got out of being in medicine for the same reasons that we did as a GI doctor. According to him, he could not bill insurance for a nutrition counseling, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Let's just prescribe medications all day long, but let's not talk about your diet. That just is infuriating. Anyway, right. So a lot of his books, I followed a lot of, or made a lot of his recipes, and they are fantastic. And I think that's kind of where Sean has been like, yeah, these are actually palatable. I'm like, yeah, they're delicious. It's a different mindset.
It's not my steak, but I'll take it.
Exactly.
Right.
We are starting to come up on our time, so I do have one last question for both of you. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
That's a great question.
Oh, man.
Makes everybody think. My statement would be to hire Sway to do our ads way sooner in life because it stressed us out for like a solid year.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, just like bringing you guys on, if you are proactive about life, it makes things so much easier. And when we became proactive and started taking pictures and sending to them to do our work.
Yeah, that's a much better too.
I would definitely say believe in yourself.
Yeah, nice.
In a different way. Like, you know, when I was feeling like I'm not going to do PT anymore, what I have built this entire life, I have mountains of debt to still pay back. Mm-hmm. What possibly can I do that will even come close to paying the bills? So I feel like I had a lot of doubt, self-doubt, and trying to be an entrepreneur. Like, no, I have no business doing that. But I feel like I was born to do this. So I would definitely say believe in yourself.
It's awesome. I love it.
I don't know. So maybe, I mean, I wouldn't change anything about my past.
Right.
But to what I could do better at or tell myself to be better at or put more effort and time into it would be probably, and Colleen, I think we'll appreciate this, my time management. in the PT clinic, I think my time management skills are very, very good. But like outside of that, oh yeah, I wait last second for to do anything and everything. And it drives her freaking mad.
That's why we will never drive to work together.
It drove my dad mad. It drives my sister mad. I'm in like my own time zone and I'm always like, oh shoot, we have to leave in 4 minutes. Oh, I got all this to do. Yo, Sean, cut the shit. Be better. Be more timely.
That's so funny. I hear that a lot too, especially with a lot of business owners. They're like, hey, inside of my business hours, like I'm on top of it. Like no one's business, no one can be better than me. Yep. And it's like, but outside of that,
disaster.
All bets are off.
Totally.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. My time management sucks because I'm used to living in Wilmington from like 20 years ago. So my brain is like, oh, it'll take me this much time to get from point A to point B. Oh, and like, I almost was late this morning. Actually, I was pretty much like showed up right on time because my head was like, oh, it should take 15 minutes to get there, 15 minutes to get back, 15 minutes to get here. So 50 minutes total. And it took me an hour. And I'm like, well, 10 minutes isn't a big thing, but it adds up.
It does. And then you're rushing around and you're kind of like all fritz, you're going into whatever you're doing. And yeah, no,
I'll never drive with him. If we have to be here at the same time, I'm driving myself.
She does.
That's
she
so
does. It keeps us both happy.
You have to know those things.
That's why.
Bless it.
Me and my wife work things out and work in totally different jobs.
Yep.
Understood.
Yes.
All right. Well, before we wrap it up here, we do have one last shout out for the Cargo District, actually. And it is Clear Vision Glass. That's across the street from us here. So yes. I had a pretty big crack in my windshield. And they did a great job of getting me set up and ready to go and back on the road again. Dropped off my car. They had it done in like an hour and a half. It was fantastic and quick.
Fantastic. Love the owners.
Yeah.
Owners are great.
They're amazing. We're hopefully going to bring him on soon. But yeah, he's hilarious too. Actually, have you guys talked to him about the app that he's creating?
No. I don't know this.
Yeah, so it's basically like fantasy football, but he calls it fantasy fitness. Mm. And you can actually, like, you could theoretically, like with some of your clients, if they were willing to say, okay, I'm willing to work with other people like that you work with, you can actually put them in a group together and you get points for yourself. So instead of like betting on a football player, You can say like, hey, I'm betting on myself that I'm going to do this many exercises, or I'm going to go on this type of walk, or I'm going to eat this many like salads this week. So it's a really neat competition-based way to keep everyone in shape and moving forward and stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm interested to see it in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But where can people see you guys in action on social media?
Yeah. So our social media. So Instagram, our handle is just Paradigm Performance Therapy. Colleen's professional account handle is C.Rollo, C.R-O-L-L-O. And then mine is Human Performance Physio.
Nice.
Sean does all of our social media. Fun fact.
Even yours?
No. You're not going to see a lot of mine, though.
On Facebook, you can look us up on, again, Paradigm Performance Therapy. And our website is simply www.paradigmperformancetherapy.com.
Perfect.
Nice. Thank you guys
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Oh, thank you thank for having you. Us. This was a blast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks.
So great.
Thank you. And everybody, like, comment, share, subscribe. Supposedly that's supposed to help the algorithm and help us look better. And also just give these guys a follow. We always like supporting local businesses and entrepreneurs, especially in the Cargo District. And they share the same building as us. So
yeah, that's even better too. And you can see all of their athletes and their wins holding up the big belt that they got.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Well, cheers.
Cheers.